Merkle Media.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I reload it. Yep.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkle. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. And if you want more shows on a weekly basis, just go to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member today, because every Thursday we release a bonus show to members only on the website. So if you want to hear more of the show, just go to theconfessionalspodcast.com and become a member today. Now, I got an awesome announcement for everybody, so please hear this news. We have Kyle from the Dog vs. Dog Man show coming on for a live Q&A for members on the website this Thursday. That's this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're a member, make sure you're available to tune in live to the live show between me and Kyle. It should be on video and you'll be able to call into the show and pick Kyle's brain about his experience. There'll be a live chat where you can talk to other people in the chat and ask questions that way as well. But that's this Thursday on the website for members at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Confessionals on YouTube, because we are going to be doing a new show on YouTube called Legion of Legends, where I go hunting for the legends that we've heard about for so long on this show. So if you want to watch these journeys with me, go to The Confessionals on YouTube, hit subscribe, and don't miss a show. Now, this week we have Colin coming on the show, and Colin is in the UK, and he has a lot of different paranormal experiences that started off when he went to Thailand, and he woke up with an entity sitting on him. And from that point on, it snowballed in his life, and it became a very common thing. So let's get to Colin right now. All right, today we got Colin on the show. Colin, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. So, Colin, before we get into anything, though, I wanted to let you kind of talk a little bit here about you're working with Hector from episode 199. Members know who Hector is because it was a member episode, but Hector had an amazing story, and he has a ministry, and you actually, since hearing that episode, have joined his ministry, right?
Yeah. So I heard the episode about 20 minutes in. I'm thinking, I hope they give an email address out because I'm going to message this guy. And then you did it at the end. So yeah, I dropped in an email because I was kind of looking for some kind of prayer assistance around the time. He sent me one back, had a few sessions in, and it kind of went from there. Asked to join the ministry. And it's smooth sailing since then. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So, if you're a member, you want to hear that show, it's episode 199, Miracles and Exorcisms. And I think we started off that interview with telling our own story where before we started recording, Hector prayed for me and my brother Jack, who was in studio. And I forget how it all went, but he's like, do either one of you have shoulder issues? And Jack's like, I do. And he's praying. And like, Jack's face like is melting in front of me because he's feeling like this pain just leave his body. And it's like when I'm looking at his face, his eyes are real big and I'm just like, whoa, something's happening here. And Jack's shoulder was healed right there. And last time I checked with Jack was probably about 6 months ago, and he said his shoulder still feels great and it was bothering him for a while. And so it was really interesting experience going into the interview, and then the interview itself was just awesome. So you know, if people are members, they can go ahead and check that out. But Colin, knowing that you're joined up with him and stuff, lay the groundwork as to kind of your life in this paranormal stuff that led you up to even contacting Hector.
Yeah, so 33 now, grew up in London, fairly kind of normal childhood, finished school, finished college. So in 2007, I went traveling in Thailand with two other friends, 3.5 months, kind of going around Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam. Got to the end of it, and I thought, you know what, I'm not quite ready to go back to the UK now. I'm going to try and stay out here. So came back to the UK for a month, got some money together, went back. Ended up teaching over there and staying over there for about 7 or 8 years in total. So the weird stuff started probably in around maybe August 2007. I was staying at a friend's house in Bangkok. It's in bed, it's probably about 5 in the morning. In Thailand, the sun rises fairly early, so you know I could see a little bit in the room. Suddenly, I wake up and I'm frozen. I'm completely paralyzed, and there's a black shadow sitting on my chest, sitting on me. And this is something that I'll kind of get into that always kind of accompanies these kind of sessions, these kind of feelings. I had this surging feeling in my head, almost like your brain's being squeezed, this kind of vibration noise just going through your head, going through your ears. And I knew straight away, this isn't good. I was angry. So I lift myself up. And all I can think of to fight this thing off is try and bite it. Try to bite its face, and then bang, I'm back in the bed, I'm laying down, and I can move. So that was the first sleep paralysis kind of experience there. And to be honest, I didn't know what to do with it. I knew something strange had happened. I knew something weird had happened, something I hadn't had experience before. But I just put it to one side. I thought, you know, okay, I'm not going to think about that. Let's just get on with life. That was a bit weird. So a few months later, I'm on the internet and I come across an article on sleep paralysis and kind of what other people have been experiencing around that. And they're talking about seeing a black shadow, you know, darker than dark, sitting on top of you. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. So in that moment, I kind of realized it wasn't just a dream. It wasn't just some strange hallucination you have in like a half sleep state. Millions of people around the world for years going back have been having the same experience and seeing the same figures, the same shadow figures. Fair to say I was quite interested then. I was looking into it. But then over the next 10 years or so, the experiences really ramped up to the point where I was having sleep paralysis almost every night, sometimes 2 or 3 times a night for weeks on end. Sometimes it would stop for a month, then it would come back. And what I came to realize is you could kind of tell when it was going to happen. You know, if you had a bad day, you feel a bit low, or you just had this feeling before you went to bed, a few hours before, that something was going to happen. You could sense a presence, you could sense something in the room. And it'd always start with that same kind of like a vroom, vroom kind of sound in your head, some kind of surging feeling in your brain. And then you'd wake up paralyzed. I also started to connect dreams to these experiences. So it's almost like you would be presented a dream scenario. trying to elicit a certain emotional response from you. So it could be fear, it could be something chasing you, it could be something else. And then I'd clock it. I'd realize in the dream, this isn't right. There's something going on here. And then bam, you're in sleep paralysis. You know, you can see a shadow either standing next to you or sitting on top of you. And to be honest, you know, that was something that just happened at nighttime. In the daytime, I tried just to forget it, you know, try and just get on with the day. And then, you know, try and just have a good night's sleep. So this kind of followed me around, going back and forth from Thailand to the UK. You know, I remember once I was staying at a friend's house and staying in the spare bedroom, probably about 7 a.m, sleep paralysis. And I could see these two shadows standing next to me, a tall one and a short one. So sometimes there'd be multiple figures in the room. It even happened on the plane once. That time I didn't actually see any shadows, but I'm sitting there in, you know, second class and you're frozen, sitting up in your chair. Trying to shake it off. It's almost like I learned I could move, but it wasn't your physical body. It's almost like you're walking through tar, through really sticky mud. And that kind of moves into the whole outer body experiences as well. So, you know, the experience had just got more and more wild. You know, I'd be laying there off the bed, having a sleep in the afternoon, and I'd feel something just grab my ankle suddenly in that paralysis state. Or I'd be in my bedroom back in the UK, I'd wake up frozen, and I could hear it just banging up the stairs, something slam the door open and jump onto the bed. And I'd literally just feel the mattress depress around me. And you'd be stuck like that for about 10, 20 seconds. And there's nothing you could really do about it. I realize if you try to make a grunt, like a noise, you can't say anything, but you can kind of make a noise. You can try and slowly kind of just pull yourself out of it. But yeah, that went on for a good few years. I would see, you know, just before I was going to bed, I'd be laying in bed kind of watching TV in that kind of half sleep stage. And I'd see like this black arm, like a solid blacker than black arm coming out from over the top of the television. Looked like a human hand, looked like a human arm, a little bit skinny. And then you just kind of shake yourself and it's not there. So yeah, that was what kind of those from 2007 onwards for about 10 years was like. And then the outer body experiences started. So I would be, you know, laying in bed, I'd have a paralysis attack. And then if you kind of relaxed or if you kind of just went with it, you didn't struggle, you start floating out your body. So the first time this happened, I was floating up to the ceiling and I thought, I'm going to bang my nose on the ceiling. And as soon as I thought that, I was back in the body, frozen for a few seconds, and then I could move. Other times I'd be looking at myself in the bed, or I'd be kind of laying down beside myself, kind of looking at the back of my head. You know, and around that time, kind of going around Thailand and that, you kind of get into Buddhism, you kind of learn about meditation. So I was kind of intermittently meditating, I guess. And I'd heard about astral projection, things like that. And it was a bit of a surprise that this stuff had actually started happening. I mean, it's probably about a year before that I had meditated and thought about, you know, is it possible to astrally project? And then randomly it just starts happening. Probably the crazy experience with the outer body is I floated up out of the body, through the ceiling, through the roof, looked down, saw the top of the house, looked up into the stars, and then literally shot through space, shot through the stars like warp speed, like in Star Trek or Star Wars, you know, just going through the stars. And then it's like I'm just waking up the next morning. So I didn't quite know what box to put that one in. I kind of felt I'd gone somewhere. I kind of felt, you know, that was definitely something had happened then, but I didn't know how to explain it. And it was quite odd to kind of shoot through the stars and then usually have a sense of passage of time. Like you kind of know, I've slept for 6 hours, but it was like, bang, you're just waking up 7 a.m. after that. So around that time, I'd be waking up in the morning thinking, I kind of feel like I've been somewhere last night, but I just can't remember it. And then it got a little bit weirder. So I'd be waking up in the paralysis state, but I wasn't in the bedroom. I couldn't see the bedroom around me. So one time I woke up and I don't know where I was. It was quite light. I was laying flat down on my back. And when I came to, I was already leaning up kind of on my right side. And there was what I'd call a typical grey alien staring into my face, about 6 inches from my face. And it kind of looked almost like half reptilian. It didn't have scales. It didn't have overlapping scales. It almost had nodules all over its face. Typical big eyes, you know, small mouth, kind of slight nose. And it had like some kind of tech on its forehead. It had some kind of tech on the left side of its forehead. And I just knew it was evil. I knew it was happy that it was seeing me in this state, because I was really angry. I was trying to lean up to get towards it. I don't know what was happening before that, but it's like I came to midway through that experience. And then next thing you know, I'm waking up the next morning thinking, that's a bit weird. Better get to work. So,
you know, I can only imagine going through that, waking up and like, well, that was weird. All right, time to go to work.
Yeah, just go and forget about it. And yeah, get your suit on. So yeah, it was a bit odd. Another time, you know, I'd be sitting in the evening, and out the corner of my eye, I saw a large spider, like a foot across, hanging in midair, just like to the right of my vision. The second you look that way, it's not there. And also around that time, I was seeing lots of like blue streaks around people. So when people walked past, when I'd be kind of looking out the window, looking at, you know, the scenes of traffic going past, I would kind of notice blue streaks hanging around people. And that lasted, it wasn't constantly, but that lasted for about 2-3 years. And I've got no idea what that was. Doesn't happen anymore, but it was all around that kind of crazy period, as I call it. So another kind of experience that stands out in my mind, it must have been about 7 in the morning in the UK, probably around 2013. I woke up, and again, I was really angry. I was in that paralysis state, but I was leaning up towards this thing. And this is what I describe as just a straight up demon. It had snake eyes, vertical slit eyes, almost elm kind of gold colored. Its teeth, its mouth was wide open. It was wide, wide open. 100 sharp fang like teeth. And it just had its jaws just open like it was trying to bite my face. It was no hair in it, almost like a sickly kind of mottled yellowish brown color. And I was, yeah, it was trying to, it was like it was going to bite me. Its mouth was so wide open. And again, I was just so angry. I felt like I was being violated somehow. I just felt this thing is pure evil. And I remember looking into its eyes, and there was intelligence there, and there was pure malice. So that was probably one of the strangest kind of in your face, experiences I've had. And at the time, I didn't think it was a demon. I don't know what I thought it was. I thought, you know, not being a strict Christian at the time, you know, you're heading in kind of other ideas about the world. I was thinking, oh, it's some kind of interdimensional being. I don't know how I was trying to explain it, but again, I was just trying to put it to one side and just kind of hope it doesn't happen again. So also around that time, I woke up laying on my front, same paralysis state. And I saw this as like a translucent old man just kind of halfway floating through the wall, just looking into my eyes as I woke up. One thing I started to realize after having these experiences is when you're in that sleep paralysis state, it wasn't my physical body moving. It was, you could call it your spirit body, your astral self, whatever it is. That is what could move. So with enough willpower, enough intent, you could actually get up. So, you know, when these things are sitting on top of you and you want to try and get up just to try and push it off, that wasn't the physical body. That was, it's almost like you're pulling yourself out of your physical body. And also I noticed that you think really quickly. There's no kind of delay in your brain, like your neurons firing. It is just straight, you know things straight away. And I'll kind of get into that a bit later on. But that's one thing I noticed is you think very quickly. You almost just know things intuitively. You know things straight away. So around this time, I kind of spoke to my mum about this, and surprise, surprise, she says, yeah, I had something like that happen to me when I was young as well. So she told me about, she was probably about 7 or 8 years old in a bedroom, and she saw this shadow being appear first on the other side of the room, and then kind of disappear, appear nearer, and then the pillow just got chucked off the bed. So I think that's the only thing she's ever kind of really had in that regards. But my grandmother as well has been through lots of strange experiences like that. She's seen UFOs before she even knew, what a UFO was. She looked out of a window in London in the 40s and saw these things hovering over the houses. She didn't know how to explain it, but it was in the newspapers a few days later. And she also told me about when she was young, there was a room in the house where she slept initially, but she would feel something pushing the bed up at nighttime. And she had like a Gurkha knife. So she'd swipe her knife under the bed to try and stop it. Her brother as well had some really kind of terrifying experiences then. She also had outer bodies. And she put an end to it, actually. She went to see a priest who blessed a statue. And then she put it in the bedroom. And it just stopped dead. It stopped flat for her. So when I kind of heard that, other people in my family had also been through these types of experiences, I started to think a bit more carefully about it. So I met my current fiance in 2014. And then literally within a few months, she started having the same experiences. She would start to have paralysis. She'd start to see shadows, really bad dreams. And then we started to have shared experiences. So we'd both be hit with paralysis at the same time. So what I would do, I'd be hit with paralysis. I'd come out of my body, or I'd find myself standing next to my body, and I could just hear something coming up the stairs. So I'd run towards the bedroom door and just try and hold the door shut whilst whatever it was trying to get in. And so the next morning, I'm like, I had a mad experience last night. And she says, yeah, me too. Got hit with paralysis. And I kind of saw you getting up and trying to hold the door shut as something was trying to come in the room. So shared experiences, and that happened quite a few times.
So hold on a second. She actually, if I'm hearing you correctly, you had the sleep paralysis, you had an out of body experience where you left your body to do this, and she had a sleep paralysis as well, where she actually saw you leave your body. Like she could see your, whatever that is, a spirit or whatever, holding the door shut.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly the same.
Wow.
Time.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So you're feeling a bit bad about that. She'd never had anything like this.
I mean, I don't want to interrupt the whole storyline here, but was she freaked out in that moment, and were you freaked out? I mean, that's something that's on another level. Not only are you having an experience, but you're having the same experience as somebody else and you're sharing it together.
I think to her credit, she didn't show it. She didn't show it. She wasn't scared. She wasn't, upset about it too much. She was concerned, definitely. I was more angry because I kind of felt, I was used to it. But it's when it's kind of affecting your family or people you love that you start to get a little bit irritated. You start to get, really a bit angry about that. To her credit, she didn't show any fear. She wasn't, she didn't want to leave. She didn't want anything like that. And it probably hit her, it probably happened to her about 4 or 5 times, I would say, over that period. But, one thing, I know it's really kind of negative experience, all these things happening, that span for about 10 years. But one thing it showed me is there's something more to this world. That's what really was impressed upon me. It's not just a physical world. As you see it, you're born, you live, you die, that's it. I knew there was, if nothing else, that's what it proved to me, there was something else going on. I wasn't quite ready then for the answer, but I knew it was beyond a shadow of a doubt. I knew there was other stuff going on in this world, so I took the positives from it, and I think she did as well. It was she'd kind of grown a Christian as well, but she, I think it's also kind of proved to her that there's something else to this, there's something else to this world. This kind of carried on for a few years. Activity kind of died down around 2017. I got a new job, we moved house, and I just focused purely on kids and work. Tried to kind of put my mind off all this other stuff, and it stopped. I didn't have any paralysis, and I thought literally that's done and dusted. it's put to bed. It's not going to happen again, which I was fairly grateful for. I was quite happy about. But in 2019, it picked up again. So we'd been in this new house probably about a year and a half. The first thing that happened was I was sitting downstairs in the living room. Everyone else had gone to bed, probably about 11 o'clock at night. I'm watching TV. So sitting on the sofa, TV's in front, the stairs to my right with the lights on. And out the corner of my eye, I just see a shadow and also a figure peek around the corner and then go upstairs. And I thought, I looked to my side, I kind of thought, what was that? You try and tell yourself it's just a trick of the light, you know, it's just your brain kind of playing tricks on you. But invariably, you know, when you think you see something out the corner of your eye, you normally do. You know, I do a lot of late night fishing. So many times, you know, I think I'll see something on the beach. And I won't see it immediately. Then 5 minutes later, I'll see a fox go past. So usually when I think I see something out the corner of my eye, I do. And I told my partner about this the next day. And she says, yeah, I was sitting upstairs in the bedroom. I think it's maybe even the day before that happened. And she saw a shadow kind of just fly by in the hallway. So it was like, okay, starting to pay a bit more attention then. So I think it must have been about a week later. I woke up and I had a blue light in my face. Literally for like a split second, I woke up and I just had this bright blue light in my face. And I thought it was a burglar. I thought someone was robbing the house or someone with a torch in there. So I got up, but no, nothing there. So I mentioned that to her as well. And she says, yeah, the other night I woke up and I thought it was a car going past outside, but it was a blue light reflected in the mirror because it's like a mirror on the other side of the bedroom. So she saw a blue light. And she said, you know, I wouldn't call it an orb, but it was like a blue, small, bright light. So I'm thinking to myself, oh no, you know, I haven't seen anything like that before. Let's not hope this is starting again. You know, and around then, that's when I say to myself, you know, that's when it shifted. That's when everything changed. So around that time, the kind of few months previous to that, I just had this feeling, come back to God, you know, Jesus Christ. You know, just look at this again. And it was just like a little voice in my head, literally out of nowhere, just thinking, you know, look at this again, you know, look at the Bible again, just look at this again. So the moment the penny dropped, I was at work on the 27th of December, 2019. I was alone. It was like skeleton staff. It was only me in the office, sitting at the computer. And I just had this emotional feeling just overwhelm me. I call it Holy Spirit conviction. I don't know what it was, but it was literally, you know, come back to Jesus. This is it. In that moment, I felt remorse. I felt really emotional. I felt repentance. I just prayed, you know, I prayed out loud. And that was it. I was a Christian. I felt I had an experience. Don't know how to explain it, but from that moment onwards, I was a Christian and I knew my family, we were going to be Christians. So I go home that night, I have a chat with my partner and she's like, yeah, let's do this. So that's it. You know, start reading the Bible, start praying out loud, start praying before meals, praying before bed. And we started just really trying to live that Christian life and just getting back into it. At the same time, this presence in the house was just growing and growing. Coming home every night, it literally felt like I was entering a war zone. I could just feel it as I parked up. I could just feel this evil feeling in the house, this evil presence. And I didn't know what to do. I kind of looked on the internet. You find out about spiritual warfare, you know, what do people do when they're experiencing oppression or these types of issues. So I went to kind of walking around every room with the Bible, just praying out loud, you know, reading Psalm 91, and just trying to pray them away, just asking for God's protection, asking for angels, asking for the Holy Spirit just to fill the house and just to watch over us. And it kind of felt I really angered something because that night I had my first sleep paralysis in a long while. I was with my partner downstairs on the sofa watching a movie. I'd fallen asleep. I'd kind of come to in that paralysis state. And it felt like I was getting choked. I was literally, I could not breathe. And then she kind of notices me making noises. So she shakes me. She kind of moves me. And I wake up. I can just move. And I was gasping for air. like I'd just run a mile. I felt my heart was beating out of my chest. From there, then it just really kicked up again. My partner, she kind of helps me a lot when these things happen. She will notice either because I stop breathing normally, I'll stop snoring, or she'll hear me making noises, and that will wake her up, and then she'll realize he's having a sleep paralysis session and shake me awake. So a few days later, I was going to bed. My partner was already asleep upstairs. And I'd moved my daughter into our bedroom. I kind of put a mattress next to our bed just because I felt safer. I felt better with her there. Partner's awake and she says, you know, just had some crazy dreams, some really, really horrible dreams. She didn't tell me what they were, but I could tell from the look on her face, it wasn't good. And I just had a feeling, you know, I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to pray for her. I felt something was hanging around. So got into bed. She fell asleep again pretty quickly. And I prayed for about 10 minutes, you know, just asking for protection, asking for the Lord just to watch over us. And then the second I said amen, I felt this force, just this dark shadow just come over me, like just envelop me. And I felt so dizzy. I felt literally like I was about to pass out. It was taking every kind of ounce of my will just to stay conscious. I try to prop myself up on my shoulder or on my elbow, just trying to sit up. I grabbed the Bible next to the bed and just open it and just started reading, just reading anything. And this carried on for about that feeling for about 10, 15 minutes. And then I was just shaking. For about half an hour, I was just pale and I was just shaking. And what I feel is, what I kind of felt was something had been messing with her, given her these nightmares, these dreams, and it was so angry that I prayed against it and stopped it. And so it just went all out, an all-out assault, just trying to scare me, trying to terrify me, trying to affect me somehow. So, you know, around that time, I'd be waking up through the night praying. I'd almost wake up and I'd be praying. I'd just wake up with like Bible verses going through my head. So I really felt, you know, the Lord was just watching over me that time. It was a war zone. That's what it felt like, that house. There was definitely spiritual warfare going on. It was like a battle. You know, I knew these things were hanging around. I knew they'd been around for a long time. For whatever reason, they were messing with me. Now it's the time for them to shift on. And then I started to, you know, the penny dropped, demonic. This is a straight up demonic issue. So I'd made a decision around that time. You know, I know the power of the name of Jesus Christ. I'd heard stories. I heard people saying, you know, I rebuke the sin in the name of Jesus, and it left. So I said to myself, the next time this happens, the next time I have a paralysis attack or whatever it is, I'm going to rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus Christ. So it was about a week or two later. Daughter was still in the bedroom, middle of the night, for about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I was awoken and I hear my daughter's voice just saying, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, kind of half asleep. I'm like, yeah. No reply, just silence. So I go back to sleep and I hear it again, Dad. And I say, yes. And again, no reply. So I start to drop off and then I hear Dad. And so I say, what? And literally that second, it felt like a rush attack. I was suddenly paralyzed. I just heard this high pitched metal kind of screeching sound. And this often accompanies like a paralysis attack. You can hear this noise, like machinery, like just metal, just shearing, just grating against each other. And I had almost like multiple scenes of just terror just going through my mind in a split second. Frozen, I was laying on my back and I saw this dark mass, this shadow coming out to my right from the ceiling corner. From the corner of the ceiling, and another figure just looming over the bed, a tall, 7-8 foot tall kind of figure, almost like a cloaked figure just leaning over the bed. And of course, I told myself what I was going to do immediately. I just said, Jesus Christ, help me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And it just receded. As soon as I said that, it just sucked back into the ceiling and just away from me. And then I'm, all I know is I'm getting shaken kind of out of it by my partner. So the odd thing is, so for me, it felt like this lasted for about 5 seconds. So a few odd things here. It lasted about 5 seconds. Partner says, no, I was trying to wake you up for about 30 seconds. And also it sounds like you were speaking in tongues. And also, that wasn't my daughter speaking. She could hear me in her, she was like half asleep. She could hear me saying, yes, yes, what? But my daughter was not speaking. So I think, you know, as I was rebuking that thing in the name of Jesus Christ, in my mind, kind of in that state, what was coming out of my tongues was something else. What was coming out of my mouth was something else. Like I say, that's when it shifted. From that moment onwards, I knew the power of Jesus Christ. I knew who I was in him. And I knew I could actually do something about this now. Before, I was just a rag doll. You know, it was, I had no control over this. You were just literally a plaything for these things. But now as a Christian and kind of realizing your authority you have in Jesus Christ, your inheritance you have through Jesus Christ, then I could do something about it, or I could rely on him to do something about it. So it was around that time I heard your interview with Hector, episode 199. And I was thinking, you know, I'm just going to send this guy an email. I hope he gives out an email. Otherwise, I'm going to have to try and track him down on Facebook or something. But in the end, you gave out his address. So I dropped him an email and kind of saying, yeah, you know, could we arrange some prayers? Could we try to pray with my family? He emails me back saying, yeah, you know, let's get kind of 4 to 5 sessions in the diary. So these happened around sort of May, June time, 2019. So there are 4 other kind of prayer warriors that join those sessions. So typically, you know, what we do, we kind of open in prayer. We would kind of do a walk around the house because it was on Zoom. Obviously, they're in the States. I'm in UK. And we'd be praying. You know, they'd be praying. They'd be kind of rebuking anything that's in the room, just, you know, telling it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, just asking for angels, for protection, for the Holy Spirit, just to fill the room, just to fill the room with his presence. And things kind of changed then again. So I would no longer kind of have paralysis attacks. But I would just find myself out of body in the house at night. And I just knew there were demons around. Sometimes they would take the form of a family member. And I'll say straight, like I say, in that paralysis state, you just know things. And I just knew these are demons. These are demonic beings. And I'll say straight away, I rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to leave. You know, and they'd start changing. Their faces would start kind of swirling around and then changing to someone else, or they'd just be invisible. You know, one time I was in the kitchen and I just knew something was just blocking the doorway. And I don't know what it is, some kind of intuition. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit leading you, but I just knew where these things were. And it almost felt like you're clearing out the house. So it kind of really changed. My nighttime experiences went from sleep paralysis, getting frozen, seeing shadows, to now just being full on out your body around the house, casting these things out. I kind of felt I shook it. I kind of shook a lot of those attachments off. I think one of the last kind of sort of experiences that kind of stands out for me is I was just sitting downstairs, happy day, you know, with the kids. And again, that kind of feeling just overwhelmed me. A really kind of dark, horrible feeling. It's almost like they're trying to terrify you. They're trying to scare you. I went so pale. My partner saw me kind of just walking up the stairs. I was just like, okay, just take care of the kids. Went into the bedroom, grabbed the Bible, and I was just praying. I was just reading the Bible out loud, just praying. And it took about 15 minutes and it just went away. And I was left with this feeling of just peace, just utter peace and happiness. So around that time I came to realize, you know, the power of prayer, what it can really do, and, you know, what you have actually as a Christian, who's with you, who resides in your heart. The second you're born again, where you are, you're seated in heavenly places. We know what Jesus Christ died on the cross for all our sins, and to free us completely, and to free you from the power of the enemy, from the power of the devil. And that's what I came to really understand and rely on. So around July 2019, so growing up in the UK, Christianity is quite reserved. Christianity is quite, you know, you kind of shuffle into your church on Sunday, sing your hymns, you know, go home. That's about it. So the idea of a baptism in the Holy Spirit or anything like that was completely alien to me. It's something I'd never really heard of. But yeah, last summer, I prayed to receive the baptism. And I did. I spoke in tongues. I prayed. I just repented. I asked for God just to fill me with his Holy Spirit, baptize me. and I just started speaking in tongues. And it felt like a really kind of special experience. It felt, I didn't understand anything, or didn't have any kind of meanings to me at that time. But it felt like I was just praying out to heaven. I was just crying out to God. And at the same time, my partner was in the kitchen. She's with my son and my daughter. And then they could hear it going on. And then she bends down to pick my son up, and she blurts out something in tongues as well. So whatever it was spread, she walks into the living room, and she could just feel the presence. It just felt different in there. It felt, you know, really comfortable. Everything just felt at peace. So that kind of put an end to those kind of experiences in that house. So we then moved a few months after that into this house where I am now. And then I'm sitting down praying. I'm kind of praying to the Lord, you know, I really want to do something for you. You know, I can't have gone through these experiences for nothing. I kind of feel, you know, you're leading me down the path. You let me, you know, he's the sovereign creator, God of all. Nothing happens without him knowing. And I was kind of thinking, what is the point of this? You know, you show me these things. I've realized who I am, who you are, who Christ is. And so I'm just praying, just Lord, you know, reveal the path to me. I want to do something, you know, I want to do something for you. And in my head, I was really wanting to kind of get into a deliverance ministry, you know, and trying to sort of help other people going through these same issues. So about a week later, I was praying, and next day, and I was actually thinking about those prayer sessions I had with Hector and the other prayer warriors. Next day, I get an email from Steph, who's another sort of prayer warrior in that ministry. And she's saying, you know, Holy Spirit prompted, just wondering how you're doing. So I said, yeah, actually, we're crazy. I was thinking about you guys yesterday. It'd be good to catch up. So she sends me an email back saying, yeah, you know, let's get a prayer in, kind of talk next week. And so for a day or two before that, I just had a feeling that I was going to join that ministry. So I didn't say anything to them. I didn't ask to join. I didn't say anything. So we had the meeting. It was with all the same guys that I'd met before that were in those previous sessions. And they were saying, you know, we've been discussing this, you know, the last few months, your name's been popping up, just in prayer. You know, how do you feel about joining the ministry? And, you know, in that second, just the, you know, the sort of the power of God was just impressed upon me. This is exactly what I was praying for. To, you know, have the opportunity to get into a ministry like that. And I was like, yeah, you know, sign me up. So I think the day or 2 days after that, we're straight into a prayer session. You know, people could be going through kind of, you know, things going bump in the night kind of issues, or kind of emotional issues, or health issues. A few of those sessions we've heard chanting coming down the phone, like a demonic kind of chanting coming down the phone, or things kind of speaking back to you, like mocking, kind of saying things back to you. We've done deliverances where people will feel like a squirming. So what we try and do, we keep it very sort of heavily scripture based. We, you know, we invite the Holy Spirit in, we pray, you know, we let you know, Jesus Christ is sovereign over this experience, is sovereign over this prayer session. Lots of scripture reading. And so as we're kind of doing that, you almost feel like you're wearing the enemy down. Whatever is around that person, if they're, you know, whatever issues are going through, they'll maybe start feeling like a squirming coming up in their stomach. Or, you know, one person started throwing up. She could just feel it. And then, you know, after it was done, she felt like she'd run a marathon. She felt at peace. She felt better. So I knew I could see it working. So from, you know, a year before where I had no idea what was going on, I wasn't a Christian. I was at the mercy of whatever these things were, these demonic entities, to where I was then. You know, I found Christ, I found my identity in him, and now we were doing something about it. You know, we're actually helping other people going through these same issues. Yeah, and so we've actually had quite a few contacts through the confessionals, people who've heard Hector's interview on your podcast, and kind of said, yeah, you know, can we arrange a session? So yeah, you know, one session is never the same as the other. They're always different. And we spoke to so many different types of people, so many different kind of walks of life and different kind of levels of society. Lots and lots of different people going through some really kind of crazy stuff. So, you know, we'd always pray. We'd devote kind of a lot of time to praying for these people. One session I had, I was usually I try to sleep before because it's usually about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning UK time. So I try and get some shot eye before the actual session. And then one time I had a paralysis kind of attack, and I was lifted out of the bed, and I could just hear this growling. It's almost like you lifted up by my neck. I could just hear this growling from the side of the room, and it's almost like, you know, the enemy knows what you're going into. The enemy knows you're about to go into a prayer session, and he's just trying to scare you. He's just trying to put you off. So yeah, that's kind of carried on to this day. We're still having sessions. Got sessions booked in. I speak to my grandmother a while back, and she, you know, she's had so many experiences, like I said, and she told me one time, it must have been years and years ago, her stepfather and her stepmother just passed away, or well, she was in the process of kind of passing away. She was at her house with her husband, and as she died, she saw her standing behind the chair. So she actually saw her kind of standing out of her body. And a few months later, she heard them in her head saying, can we come into you? So it was a stepfather and a stepmother asking to come into her body. And for some reason, she said yes. And so she said, oh, you know, nothing bad happened from that. I even felt them leave a little while later. And I'm hearing this with my, you know, from a Christian perspective, just thinking, hang on a minute, that sounds really dodgy. That doesn't sound right, you know. These demonic things are absolute tricksters, and what they desire is to come into a human body. So I was kind of saying to her, Nan, you know, this doesn't sound like, I don't think that's your stepmother or stepfather. That sounds like someone trying to trick you. That sounds demonic. So I was kind of thinking, you know, I need to try and pray for her. I don't know how I'm going to approach this with her. I don't want to just, you know, come in and just say, Nan, I'm going to try and cast something out of you. But basically I had a chat with her. You know, sort of brought around to that conclusion that no, this wasn't anyone you knew. This was a demonic being trying to come into your body. It's basically asking for your permission to come into you, trying to create some kind of emotional bond with you, trying to get you to open up to them. And so she agreed to a prayer. So bring in the Bible, you know, we pray to the Lord beforehand. We say, you know, Lord, just bless us with your presence. Just send your Holy Spirit here. You know, led her in a sort of prayer of repentance, even though she didn't know what she was doing. Just, Lord, just forgive me for doing this. I didn't know. And then I placed my hands on her head. I said, you know, unclean spirit, whatever you are, however many there are of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. Her legs went up, and we prayed like this for about 10, 15 minutes. And she could just feel this buzzing in her head. And it just got louder and louder. And so asked for the Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit, can you please just fill this woman? Just let her feel your presence, Lord. Just fill her up. Just fill her up from her toes to the top of her head. And she could feel this surging, tingling feeling coming up her feet, up her knees, up her legs, up her chest, through to her head. And this buzzing feeling just popped out. And from that moment onwards, she was different. Straight away, she felt happy. She felt light. She was singing. She felt completely different, and she looked different. It was like a shadow had just been taken away from her face. And she was glowing. She was literally glowing. Straight away, I just noticed it straight away. And then people in the house were saying, you know, what's, you know, you look different. You literally look like you're glowing. So, you know, and for a few days after that, she would just have these kind of uplifting kind of feelings. She would literally feel with the spirit. She felt completely free. So I think for years she had these things inside her. They never left. Say they desire to inhabit human bodies. We know that from the Bible. You know, they view the human body as a house, and they don't give it up easily. So it was the Holy Spirit just pushed that thing out. And she literally was glowing. So about 10, 15 minutes after that, feeling kind of good, you know, feeling really happy, like she's freed. Because I'd also been having some odd dreams as well, which I kind of felt was connected to that issue with her. And then my partner says to me, would you pray for me as well? And I think she was kind of thinking, we'll do it tomorrow. But I just felt, no, let's do it right now. You know, straight up in the utility room. And she had this shoulder issue and these kind of almost like a cold shoulder, like a hunch, kind of like really tight feeling across her shoulders for about 10 years. And also her jaw. She had a really tight, tight feeling across her jaws, which was painful pretty much all the time. And she thought this was from like her day studying, kind of leaning down too much and kind of writing on a notepad. But she says, yeah, you know, would you pray for me? So I was like, okay, let's do it now. We prayed to the Lord. We just thanked him for who he was. We thanked him for his word, for the salvation in Jesus Christ, for letting us know who we are in Christ, and for his Holy Spirit. We just asked for the Holy Spirit just to be present, just to fill this room. Put my hands in her head, started praying, and she got dizzy. She kind of held on to something just to stand up. Just saying, you know, unclean spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever's attached to this woman, I command you to leave. And she just kept on feeling dizzy. So I take my hand off, pray again. And then she just felt that same tingling feeling. We're asking for the Holy Spirit just to come in. She felt that same tingling feeling just coming up her whole body, this kind of warm feeling just rising. And then the pain just left her straight away. Literally immediately, her shoulders relaxed. She was standing differently. There was no more pain. She said it felt like the blood returned to her shoulder. Like there was warmth there again, and her jaw was just completely free. And she was glowing like my nan. She was literally glowing. Her face was light. And I saw this again later on before bed. I looked at her and I was thinking, you look different. It's almost like, again, like a shadow being removed from your face. She was lighter. She looked light. And that carries on to this day. That pain's never come back. And jaw pain's never come back. And, you know, she can't explain it apart from saying, you know, that was the power of God. That was the power of God. Maybe something had been attached to her. I think demons do cause, we know from the Bible, they cause physical afflictions. They cause illnesses. They can cause emotional turmoil, emotional trouble. And they can kind of almost like lodge in certain areas in the body and just cause trouble. That's what they're here to do, is to kill, maim, and destroy. Or just to stop you serving Christ effectively. And, you know, power of God, the power of Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus Christ, that thing was just gone straight away. There wasn't any thrown up. There was no scream. There was no writhing around, nothing like that. It was just an easy done. And she felt good. So that was just amazing for me to kind of go through. That's the first kind of hands-on deliverance I've kind of done. So it felt like a very special thing to do that for people you love. Going on from then, I've had a few kind of other strange experiences, not like a full out paralysis, but really strange dreams, you know, things trying to get into the house. And they're always, you know, I always just rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ and it stops or they go away. So for the last week, I've really been feeling, you know, I've been waking up, been dropping off to sleep, waking up about an hour later and just feeling this presence in the room. I pray and it seems to go away. But the other night I wake up, and I'm lucid dreaming. I'm like waking up in the dream. It's daytime. I stand up. I walk to the window in the bedroom and I look outside and there's two pine trees there. And I just know there's two demons in these trees just standing in the bushes hiding. So I open the window, I point at them and I say, I see you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I command you to leave. And they kind of come out and I can sort of half see them. They're almost like translucent. You can kind of see their figure. You kind of see what they look like, but you can't actually see them solidly. And then I kind of realize I can feel the bed. I'm standing up, looking out the window, but my body, all my physical sensations are telling me I'm in the bed still. It's almost like a vision. It was almost like what I was seeing was being overlaid. You know, I was seeing something different, but my body was feeling another area. So I put my hand out and I could feel my son's hand. So I'm thinking, this is really weird. My eyes, everything my eyes are telling me, I'm standing up looking outside the window and it's daytime. But actually, I could put my hand out and I can feel the bed. I can feel my son next to me. I don't know what that was, some kind of dream scenario, some kind of dream they've given you, some kind of vision. I don't know. But then suddenly I hear this voice, the creepiest, nastiest kind of, you know, like Gollum out of Lord of the Rings kind of voice, just say, we're going to kill you. And that second, I'm just literally dragged out the bed, from my ankles by these two creatures. Never saw them solidly, but I had the sense they were small, almost like children. They were small. Straight away, I'm on the floor of the bedroom, and one's choking me. One's kind of, I'm laying on my back. One is sitting on top of my head, just choking me. I can feel the hands around my neck. The other one's holding me down. And I'm just thinking, what is going on? I start trying to say, I rebuke you, you know, but I can't say it because I'm being choked. I can't get the word rebuke out. So I think, you know what? I'm not going to struggle. I'm just going to call out to Jesus Christ. I'm just going to call to Jesus Christ. And I just start saying, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus Christ, help me. And then this golden light appears from the other side of the room. And all, in that second, all I want to do, I just want to see something good. I just want to see something of God. I want to see an angel, whatever it is. I just want to see something good, because these things just felt absolutely evil. And yeah, this golden light, not crazy bright, not dazzlingly bright, just this golden warm light just fills the room from my left side. And I see this thing just shoot up, just float up straight through the ceiling. And then that's it. I'm in my bed kind of thinking, well, that was crazy. But what I think what was kind of important to me about that kind of experience was I didn't rely on myself at all. I sat back and I thought, I can't struggle. You know, these things are too strong. I can't struggle. I'm just going to wait for Jesus Christ. I'm just going to call on Jesus, whether it was Jesus, whether it was an angel that appeared. But something happened there, something good, you know, something of God happened there. And this light appeared and it just drove them away. You know, and then, yeah, that was about 5 days ago. And the last few nights I've just felt, you hadn't really been getting that much sleep, but, yeah, you just wake up, you feel this presence and I just straight away pray. And I just feel at peace. I just feel better. And so, yeah, that is a summary of what's been going on since about 2007.
Jeez, man. So that is a jam-packed life in just, what, 13 years, 14 years? That's crazy, man. Do you think that whatever happened in Thailand spawned this whole thing? Or do you think that whether you were in Thailand or not having that initial experience, that this would have happened?
I've often thought that. I don't think so. I don't know. It's not like I kind of got into anything crazy out there, you know, any meditation, any temple visits, anything around that time. But it was a bit strange. It did just happen first of all in Thailand. I'm not sure, to be honest. I mean, I know I had things happen when I was younger. I know I had really, really bad dreams, literally every night till I was about 5, which I can never remember, but I know it was pretty terrifying. So no, I don't know what triggered it. And what was odd, from that moment onwards, he just followed me around. It was, I can't explain it.
Yeah. And you know, what I found interesting is throughout your stories, a couple of times you said that you just got really angry. Is that like a self-defense mechanism in you that you naturally, like if you're scared, you get angry? Or is there something more maybe supernatural about it that was driving you into this like irate rage?
I don't know. What I tend to think, maybe it's just a natural thing. It's like a guy thing, you know, you can't do anything. So you try and fight back. Cause what I realized is I was powerless until I came to Christ. I was powerless trying to do that on my own, you know, getting angry, trying to bite these things or push them away. That was all futile. You know, there's nothing I could really do because it didn't stop anything. It was only when I came to Jesus Christ and I rely on him that I could actually do something about it, or that I could rely on him to do something about it to save me. So I think, to be honest, it's probably just a natural reaction. And it happens at first, I'll be honest, it was a bit scary. You know, you know, it happened 3-4 in the morning and you wouldn't really want to go back to sleep because it could happen again. But after a while, you just kind of get used to it. And that's when I think you start to get a little bit irritated because you just kind of want it to end.
The whole biting thing, that you said that a few times too. I've never heard anybody say that, that their reaction was to bite it. I mean, didn't your mom ever teach you not to bite? I mean, I've never heard people say that multiple times that the only thought they had was to try biting it. I mean, where'd that come from?
I think because I felt I couldn't, it was easier to move my chest and kind of my body upwards than my arms. You know, it's so much effort when you're in that state to actually move, to try and do something. I think that's why you feel like your arms are literally being held down. So the only thing you can do is try and bite, is try and try and get my way that way, I think.
Man, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Now, here's another, this, I know these three questions have been very random, but because you're in the UK and, you know, I hear people's stories and I, what, 90% of the audience that, you know, is on the show or people who are on the show are from the United States. When whatever it was told you that it was going to kill you, you heard that audibly, right?
Yeah. Lay next to me in the bed.
Now, this actually might have an actual deeper meaning behind the question. Actually, now that I think about it, did whatever you hear, did it have an accent, like a UK accent?
No, I couldn't put an accent on it. It wasn't human. It didn't sound like human vocal cords. It was like, you know, like Gollum out Lord of the Rings. It was like we're going to kill you kind of voice. It was really deep and just evil sounding.
Okay.
I didn't have an accent. I couldn't place an accent on it.
Because, you know, I when you said that, maybe it's because, you know, to me, you have an accent, and obviously to you, I have an accent. I hear you say that, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if it actually had a UK accent, because, you know, these things, you know, they appear to people in certain forms. And, you know, obviously if you're in the Middle East and you have a demonic attack and it speaks to you, it's going to speak to you in your native language that you understand. And I was thinking, I wonder if, you know, if it's speaking to you in a native language that you would understand, does it have an accent too, or what? I didn't know.
I mean, it's an interesting point. I mean, I think these things are very clever. I think they've been around for a long time. They're extremely deceptive and very cunning. I mean, you hear about, you know, the different ministries and kind of people out there in foreign countries doing these things, where these demons will kind of speak through someone in their own language, a language that person does not know. See, I think no matter what, you know, who they're coming through, who they want to speak to, they can speak in your language. They can get their point across to you.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Listen, I think it's really cool that you linked up with Hector and now you're part of that ministry. And the way it happened, you know, you wanted to, but you didn't ask, and then they asked you. And I just hearing your side of things, the fact that so many people have reached out to Hector through this show, I think is really, really cool, man. And man, I appreciate you coming on and sharing these stories. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, cheers, Tony. I mean, yeah, we've got loads of kind of contacts through your show, people listen. So yeah, it's great to kind of speak to your listeners that way. And do you mind if I give out our website and our email address?
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
In case anyone's kind of having issues like this, they kind of feel they want someone to pray for them, they feel they're going through some kind of demonic oppression or anything like that.
Yes,
just go to get for in it. Yes, yeah, so email is thecenturion813.com, and the email address is thecenturion813@gmail.com.
Could you spell for the listening audience so they know for sure that they're emailing and getting the right spot?
Yeah, so it's thecenturion813.com.
Awesome.
And it's the same for the Gmail email address as well.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it, because that's the best thing you can do to help this show grow. Just share it with your friends. And remember, we do have another podcast called Hammer Lane Legends. My dad and I put on a weekly basis. So if you want more content there, go over to hammerlanelegends.com or just look it up in any podcast playing app and you can listen. We've been doing it for over a year and there's a lot of great content on there. So go ahead and check that out. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
Fantastic. I'm just feeling probably like you. I'm just drifting. Probably right beside you. All the abyss, control from afar. What did we miss? Now we're left with the scars.
We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this glow, it's hard to hide.
the lows, but hey, the high
is the other side of the sun.
The path is dark, it's hard to find.
The light is bright.
Everybody wanna preach a happy median. I see they dopamine fix come from media. Now your spirit getting booked on Expedia. Soul searching like Long Island Medium. I should've been taught. Sleepwalk through life, but being woke is an insult. They should've been caught. They wanna flood it in fear by drowning us on the asphalt. We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this glow, it's hard to hide.
It's bright.
We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this dark, it's hard to find.
It's bright. It's bright.
Masking from elites, goddess attaching what is free. Now we're rationing our needs for our souls.
Yeah, we're not fasting from belief. The smell of Sharpies right the streets. Looting liabilities like it's gold.
Atomic number 79. Gucci, Prada, Jordan high. Sniff that line, it's on the house till your soul.
The ones that keep us locked for the felony time. Or the ones that fund the dollars for the BLM sign. Y'all ain't really doing what y'all supposed to. Y'all just follow suit like the rest do. Oh, yeah.
We love the lows but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this glow, it's hard to hide.